Sports Radio 1290. CFRW, Winnipeg.
20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown.
A division of Bell Media. You're listening to a special summer edition of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Go, Dad, go! Go, Dad, go!
On Sports Radio 1290.
One hour down, one hour to go. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show for this Monday night. I guess this is the, we're on tonight, and then we're on again Thursday. Not this Thursday, but, you know, 10 days from now, and then we'll be on for the next four Thursdays. So, you know, schedule accordingly in your calendars.
Drew, aren't you missing one of those?
I'm missing two of those, actually.
Two?
Ezzy and I are missing one of them.
What's our communication level like? What's going on?
We try not to talk off the air. Don't you know that?
I know that.
Yeah, okay. Anyways, let's go to the Hockey Show Hotline.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
And let's welcome to the program our good friend from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Shelley Anderson. Welcome back to the program. Shelley, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks a lot for having me back.
Oh, always. Anytime, Shelley. Let's start with the question on everybody's mind, and that is Sidney Crosby. We've heard reports that he's back skating, you know, that things are progressing in the right manner. Can you, provide any insight into that?
Yeah, you know, he had what we're now thinking is maybe more of a precautionary thing, but at the time we thought maybe it was a setback in mid to late April. He was having headaches, and so he was pulled off the ice. He had progressed to the point of practicing in all non-contact situations. But they're thinking now that that was maybe may have not been related to the concussion that he's had since January, that he got in early January. May have been sinus infection or may have just been something minor. But they just wanted to take all precautions, you know, with a brain injury. But he got permission several weeks ago to begin his regular summer workout, which by all accounts is a very rigorous routine that he's always done every year, and it's multiple hours a day of working out. And last week a photo, someone snapped a photo of him skating and put it on Twitter, so the cat was out of the bag and he was back on the ice. And I talked to his agent, who told me that actually he's been skating for a while. So basically, he has progressed really well with his off-season routine, as he normally would, and that's all good. Everything's good, and everything's normal. The big part now is whether he can handle it when he gets clearance for contact, and I'm assuming that's going to happen sometime during training camp.
Shelley, what about Evgeny Malkin? He obviously suffered that knee injury and missed the entire season. What is his status at right now?
I think if training camp started now, I think he'd be fine. He was way ahead of schedule. He had himself convinced that if the Penguins had made it as far as the third round or the conference final, he would have been able to play. You're talking about May. So at this point, everything's going very well for him. The Penguins, it's funny, the Penguins conditioning coach, Mike Kadar, apparently is going to try and go over to Russia and visit him for a while sometime this summer, which might be kind of interesting. It'll be the opposite situation of when Evgeny Malkin's in North America, surrounded by English speakers, and a little bit having to figure out, you know, being out of his element and having to figure out things. Now will be the conditioning coach over there speaking no Russian, and Malkin being the guy who's kind of showing him around. And, you know, that'll be an interesting thing. But I guess we'll get a better sense of where he's at.
Shelley, a lot of people don't. Sorry, I was just going to say a lot of people don't know that Drew speaks fluent Russian.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Not quite true. Not quite true.
Well, he's working on English, Shelley. But, you know, the Penguins were quite quiet around the free agency, and probably isn't much to add on the roster. But they did a signing of Steve Sullivan from Nashville, a guy who's had some injury troubles in the past and slowed down quite a bit, but seemed to be a pretty cheap and effective and, you know, provide some upside kind of signing. What was the reception of that signing in Pittsburgh, and what was Ray Shiro's thinking behind the move?
Well, I think the reception was really good here. At $1.5 million, it's a pretty good investment to try, I think. He's willing to play either wing, and certainly the Penguins need some help on the wing with the centers they've got. We don't know if they're going to continue with their experiment of having Evgeny Malkin and Jordan Staal maybe play on the same line, but even whether or not that's the case, they still need some help at winger. They lost a few wingers to free agency. We talked to him. I talked to him just last week, and he is feeling very good. He's one of the rare people who had back surgery and now has had absolutely no problem with the back. The couple of things he had last year were not long-term type of thing. There was a sports hernia that's been corrected and a sprained knee that he said would, probably only would have kept him out a couple of weeks if the team had, if Nashville had continued on in the playoffs. So it's a great signing. I have no problem with it. You know, the veteran presence that they've kind of not had that type since Billy Guerin was with them. So I think it's a pretty good signing, and there's no real downside to it at that cost.
We're joined on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show by Shelley Anderson of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Shelley, Richard referenced it in his previous question about Sullivan, not a lot of moves that the Penguins made. Is that indicative that when everybody's healthy and everybody's ready to go, how close this team is to being back to being a Stanley Cup champion?
Yeah, you know, I have to think so. Their biggest moves for this coming season are going to be to get Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin back, not so much anything that happened in free agency. They did have some players, primarily Max Talbot and Mike Rupp, move on, but they signed Steve Sullivan, and they're going to have a couple of guys from kind of, you know, the prospect arena that's probably going to come up and buy for jobs, and then you've got Steve McIntyre, if he makes the roster, so you've kind of replaced those bodies. And so they didn't make a lot of moves, but I think if you looked at what was happening before Crosby and Malkin got hurt, they had a long winning streak. Crosby had a long scoring streak. He was having just a career season to that point. They were winning. They were doing really well. I think that there's no reason to think they can't continue that. It's going to be so essentially the same team as long as everyone's healthy.
Shelley, you mentioned Steve McIntyre, and, you know, it's funny. Ray Shiro and the Penguins have been after him for a while. You know, he's a 6'7", 240-pound guy. The only thing I know about him is if that I saw him at a bar, I would probably leave. what do the Penguins like about him so much?
One of the players that they did lose to free agency was Eric Goddard, and he did not play a whole lot and was hurt quite a bit, in particular this past season. But I think that, you know, if you look around, particularly if you look in the division that the Penguins are in, a lot of teams still want to make sure they have someone like that on their roster. And I think it was a good move. Steve McIntyre is on a two-way contract. He doesn't necessarily have to be take up an NHL roster spot all season. They may want to see how things play out in terms of what the flavor of games are going to be. Certainly when they play the Islanders after what happened last year, they might want to have someone like that, you know, in the lineup. So it was basically an insurance signing by the Penguins. Unless he can show himself to be a little more of a regular player than Eric Goddard, and I'm sure he'll be given every opportunity to do that.
Shelley, you know, there could have been a splash at the beginning of free agency if the team had signed Jaromir Jagr. What went wrong there, and did it leave a sour taste in Ray Shiro's mouth?
Not the thing, but I can't imagine that it didn't. And I thought it was interesting the way it played out. You had a lot of people in the organization. I know Mario Lemieux talked to Jaromir Jagr. I don't know if we don't know exactly how intent Mario was on the Penguins signing him. He was certainly open to the idea. You had Dan Bousman, who was practically doing cartwheels over the prospect of getting Jagr, even if he was, you know, not, even if he was a 39-year-old version of what he was when he was with the Penguins before. Ray Shiro, the whole thing was the voice of reason, which the general manager has to be. He had to look at the ups and the downs. The guy's 39. He hadn't been through anything close to an 80-game season, much less an 82-game season plus the playoffs in a few years. He was going to be 40 during the season. There were questions about maybe his moodiness and things in the locker room. But he was the voice of reason. He knew what they could afford, and they talked. And in the end, Jagr went for the money and went to Philly instead. So, you know, if the Penguins feel a little bit chapped, the best thing they can do is shut him down when they play the Philadelphia Flyers.
Shelley, last question here. You know, any more moves to come for this team, or is this the roster pretty much set going into training camp?
You know, it looks pretty set. You don't see a whole lot of big trades this time of year. Things are pretty quiet. It seems like they're in a situation where they could be fine and maybe should be fine with what they've got going in the training camp, assuming they think everyone's going to be healthy. If a trade comes along that offers a good right winger or something like that, especially since they've got depth on defense, they might look at it. But I'd be kind of surprised. I think that would be a more surprise move than anything they're looking to do at this point.
Shelley Anderson of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, thanks very much for joining us on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show this evening. I guess we might see you in Winnipeg sometime this year.
I will be there right Christmas Eve.
Yeah, there you go. Well, in that case, we'll have to buy you a beverage.
And a parka.
Sounds great.
and a parka, yeah. Exactly. Thanks, Shelley.
That's right.
Thanks, Shelley. Thanks a lot for coming on again.
Take care, Shelley. Shelly, there's Shelly Anderson of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Let's go to commercial break. When we come back, let's throw open the phones for a little while.
We have phones, Drew. We might as well use them.
Yeah. Drew, anything that limit your talking would be great.
There you go. What do you think of the Blake Wheeler signing? What do you think about any of the other signings the Jets made? What do you think about Charlie Huddy and Wade Flaherty? They're the assistant coaches.
Really like Charlie Huddy.
We're going to talk about that. Lots more to come. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, 780-1290. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Thank you to our guests so far, Shelly Anderson of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Tom Giuludi of the Bergen Record in New Jersey, and Matt Keeter. He's Blake Wheeler's agent. In case you missed any of the show, it will be available for download on iTunes. Search for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on iTunes. Subscribe and get it sent to your iPod each and every week. Why don't we throw open the phone line, 780-1290, area code 204-780-1290. We want to hear from our fans, you know, about the Blake Wheeler signing from earlier today. Any thoughts about the new assistant coaches that have been announced, Charlie Huddy and Wade Flaherty, both coming on board as assistant coaches? 780-1290, we want to hear from you this segment. Ezzy, you're frantically waving.
Not frantically, but just waving because, you know, I know you like the mic. But we just had Shelly Anderson on, you know, who's obviously the Pittsburgh Penguins beat writer. And I know we want to get to Charlie Huddy and Wade Flaherty and the coaching signings, but she mentioned that Evgeny Malkin would have been ready to come back had the Penguins made the third round of the playoffs. And that's kind of remarkable in and of itself because he tore his ACL and MCL, if I'm not mistaken, and was expected to, you know, possibly spend a lot of the summer. He's obviously rehabbing, but he obviously, because he's a professional athlete and rehabbed properly, he was ready to come back. But you know what? Looking at the Pittsburgh, yeah, exactly.
Had you rehabbed your ACL,
well,
you
have to exercise minimally to start that process. But the Pittsburgh Penguins look, to me, now that Crosby and Malkin look like they're on track to come back, I love that Stevie Sullivan pickup, but James Neal's going to now have a full season to start with in Pittsburgh. I really like how Pittsburgh stacks up in the East. I still think that there's a good chance that the Capitals will win the East, but Pittsburgh, to me, is a bounce-back team this year who I have really high hopes for. And yeah, they haven't made a lot of moves, Drew. Steve McIntyre is kind of that's not really a significant signing in my mind. He's going to fight the other team's enforcers. To me, Sullivan, Shelly Anderson is on top of everything when it comes to the Pittsburgh Penguins, and she's right. Steve Sullivan still has some gas left in the tank, and he's going to play
one of my favorite Bill Guerin players.
He's going to play a Bill Guerin role, not the physical aspect, but he's going to, you know, help the other. It's still
players,
a young team.
Different
players. Very different.
If he can stay healthy, he's got such a fun game to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he's a good stick handler.
He's a spark plug.
He's a spark plug. He works hard.
He's more talented than the spark plug.
I'm not saying he's not talented.
I'm saying he's an offensive spark plug.
It's a guy who goes around and bangs some bodies and gets some energy going.
That's your definition.
He's an interesting talent, and I think there's a lot of room to move there. He's not a sniper, though, so it's interesting to see how they'd use him. I think he'd probably fit best on a line with Jordan Staal. As opposed to maybe Malkin, who likes to kind of pass the puck a lot, and Crosby, who also obviously has become a great goal scorer, but is, I think, primarily a pass-first player, if you're looking pass versus, you know, shooting versus passing. I think Sullivan's game is not a great shot, really good with his hands, really good hockey sense, could create in tight, willing to work hard, good passer. I think he'd slot in quite well beside Jordan Staal there.
And they've locked up Tangrady, and they've locked up Tyler Kennedy, and these are all guys that were playing really well, Drew. If you remember, Pittsburgh, you know, finished high in the East despite not having Crosby or Malkin for basically the entire second half.
Yeah,
so to me, right now they're the second best team in the East aside from Washington, and I'm factoring in Boston too.
If you had to pick the East right now, and Boston obviously is in there, but if you had to pick the East, and obviously this would be relying on them being healthy, the Eastern Conference Finals right now would be Washington versus Pittsburgh. But the season isn't played on July 18th or in any time in the summer, so we will see.
And you see what injuries
and
cause.
And to that point, Drew, I mean, that's the million-dollar question. We're going to get on to the other issues in a second, but Sidney Crosby, I mean, the Penguins without Sidney Crosby go from being arguably the best team in the league to, I mean, look how dominant they were. And then they to what? Well, if Malkin's there, they go to being a pretty darn good team. But they're not the most dominant team in the league. And so that's where the questions start. And with concussions, he's skating now. Great. But he's not going up against, you know, a really, really, really tough player on the other side who's looking to take his head off.
And that's right. He's going to get hit. And the question is, how is he going to respond to the hits?
Yeah, enough.
I mean, and you don't know until you get hit. And that's unfortunately how it is. So, you know, we'll wait and see. Let's talk about the Charlie Heddy signing.
Yep.
Assistant head coach Charlie Heddy, it had been rumored for a number of weeks, finally made official over the weekend. I think it was over the weekend.
Number 22, shoots that? Left, yep. Is a good stay-at-home defenseman. He should really fit in well with Zach Bogosian on the back end.
I bet Charlie Heddy could still produce at the NHL level.
He's got a great goatee. No, Charlie Heddy was a tremendous defenseman coach in Edmonton under Craig McTavish. Really, really mentored a lot of those guys well. Was highly thought of by the players and by the management and by the fans. Mike Hajka of the Dallas Morning News wrote an interesting article today saying it just didn't work in Dallas. Just him and Mark Crawford essentially didn't mesh, but that doesn't take away his qualifications and his ability and working with a young defense group. So I think this is a great hire. I don't think there's much downside. I think he's going to mentor young defensemen like Bogosian, like Enstrom, like Byfuglien. And I think this is the kind of hire that fans should be excited about, because coaching is very important.
And the thing is, just so everyone knows too, it's not like we would get this excited about any other assistant coach signing in Winnipeg. This is a guy that has done it all. He's got 5 Stanley Cups, and not only that, it's basically as soon as his career ended in, when was it, 97 or 98, he became an assistant coach very shortly after, and he was really important to the Edmonton Oilers team. He was very instrumental and there with Mac T. Mac T was the coach there for 8 or 9 years. And so True North identified Huddy very early on. This isn't something that just came along. Huddy was interested. You know, he looked at what was there. And you know, not to diminish anything, Wade Flaherty, great goaltending signing.
Have they said what's happening with Rick St. Croix? I thought that one was a little bit surprising.
No, they haven't. I don't believe they've said anything.
I don't think there's been any announcement officially.
But, you know, when you have Huddy, you have a young, talented defense. Don't you want them to learn from a guy who is a solid NHL defenseman?
Yeah, from all accounts, Drew, he's very well liked by players, too.
I mean, it just makes some sense, is what that signing does. It's like, okay, young defense, let's get a good assistant head coach to manage the defense. His job will be to mold the defense. He will be with them constantly.
And nice to mentor, exactly, and the guy who's played the game and played and won championships.
That's right. So you know what? The guy's a winner.
It can't hurt to bring another ball person to the city.
To make us feel better, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's great.
Yeah, I mean, with the exception of Remus.
You saw Curb on the first episode.
Yeah, I did.
As he hasn't seen it, so he can't spoil.
Okay, well, we'll do the Curb Your Enthusiasm recap at 8:05.
There's Breaking Bad, too.
Yeah. Anyways, let's go to the phone lines. Andre is in Windsor Park. Andre, welcome to the Illegal Curb Hockey Show.
What's going on, guys? I just had a quick comment about when you were talking about Crosby there. Just tell me if anyone of you guys is with me on this one. I understand that Crosby is a premier player in the league, but the Penguins show that they could pull it out without having their two stars. And I just had to disagree a little bit with, you know, what was said about Crosby just being, you know, with them, they're unstoppable. But they show that they could get there. They get to the next level. They get to the postseason without their two stars.
Yeah,
but Andre, look at that team play against the Tampa Bay team that wasn't exactly the best defensive squad this year. It wasn't bad, but wasn't the best, and they couldn't score that series. And I mean, obviously Malkin, you know, I think they're a first-round team, lucky to get into the second round without either of them. They're probably a second-round team, lucky to get in the third with only Malkin, and they're a Stanley Cup team with Crosby. That's how I see it.
I understand. Okay, well, thanks for the comment, guys.
I appreciate
the call.
Appreciate you listening. Thanks, Andre.
No, but you know what? It's a good point that Andre makes, though. I think he's, I don't know, Andre, are you still there?
No, he's gone. He's gone.
Okay, it's a good point, though. I mean, it's a testament, them making the playoffs and playing that well without those two guys is a testament to the entire coaching staff, Danny Bylsma, and they almost put it all into making the playoffs last year and finishing strong. You're not going to win the Stanley Cup without those guys.
You're not playing against the best teams in the league night in and night out. You're not playing against a team like Tampa Bay or whoever else it may be.
That's right.
They were very bad against Tampa Bay in the playoffs.
They couldn't score a goal.
That's fine. Yeah, you need your best players to be
Tyler
the best
Kennedy
player.
Isn't your top wingers. They're going to score pots them.
There's a reason why you have Crosby and Malkin as your best players, because they are your best players.
Yep.
Comment from the chat room at illegalcurve.com. Jimbo wants to know about our thoughts as Mike Keane as a possible assistant coach.
Interesting thought process there as well. Now, he doesn't have any coaching experience.
Me a little bit.
Hawking experience. I wouldn't mind them bringing him in and somebody else.
Yeah, I wouldn't want him to be alone as the sort of second assistant. I think he certainly can provide a lot of insight and a lot of expertise to the team, but I don't think he should be your standalone second assistant. I think they need somebody else. I guess Hedda's a veteran coach now, but somebody else maybe to help Claude Noel through those long nights in the middle of winter when the grind is getting to him.
Well, Richie, Dave Manuk, your cousin of IllegalCurve.com.
He would not be who I would hire as an assistant.
Yeah, I wouldn't hire him.
He made a good point. I mean, if you don't bring him in as an assistant, you bring him in some type of player development role because, Mike
Keane... You just want him around your organization.
You do. And Mike Keane, I mean, if anybody has even been close to the MTS Center over the last, 5-6 years would know that Mike Keane has been the heart and soul of the Moose, the captain for 5 years. So he
doesn't mean he can coach though.
Whatever he's doing.
That's why I don't think
with the Jets
your coach.
Is beneficial.
He can be one, but I would like another one.
That's right. He can be. I don't think you go wrong having him around the team, but you don't necessarily plop him into a coaching role if the guy's never coached a day in his life.
Right.
That's all.
That's precisely it. And it's going to be somebody I think Noel's a relationship with. Now, he doesn't necessarily have a long-standing one with Huddy, but you think it want to be somebody he can kind of throw stuff off of. That's why the idea was Todd Richards would have been such a good hire.
Right, because they were buddies together in...
Richards' mentor.
That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I think that works well. Timmy's giving us a signal.
Kind of like you're
up.
My mentor.
I am your
Richard's
mentor. Yeah, I know. I can't have a protege I can't date somebody whose protege is a Costanza or whatever. His mentor is a Costanza. Isn't that
ketchup and mustard in one container?
Can we go to break? Let's go to break. Jeremy Rutherford from the St. Louis Times-Dispatch coming up on the other side.
Post-Dispatch.
St. Louis Post-Dispatch.
Come on,
sorry.
Drew. You know what? Ezzy, you're taking over the next segment.
I'm out. Bulls appel.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290. Let's welcome back to the program Jeremy Rutherford of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Jeremy, welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Hey, thank you. How are you doing?
Doing very well, Jeremy. Thanks for joining us on this lovely summer evening.
Yeah, lovely and hot here in St. Louis. It's nearing about 100 degrees this week, as it is around the country, so hopefully everybody's staying cool.
Yeah, believe it or not, it's actually pretty close to that in Winnipeg as well. So,
is it really?
Yeah, we're obviously a non-traditional hockey market now.
That's funny.
And Drew's a non-traditional dresser. He's wearing corduroy right now.
Oh, man, he found it. Lost and found, huh?
Yeah, it's all I can afford. What can I say? Radio doesn't pay what it once did. Jeremy, let's get on back talking about the coldest game in the world, and that's hockey. The Blues finally sort of did what everybody's been waiting for them to do for the last number of years, and that's they signed some veterans with their signing of Jason Arnott and Jamie Langenbrunner. Why did the team finally decide that they needed a veteran presence in the locker room?
Well, I think they've known for a bit that they could use some players with some experience and who could bring some veteran leadership into the locker room. They kind of turned a corner a year or two ago when Keith Tkachuk retired and then Paul Kariya, they didn't re-sign him. And they said, hey, look, we're turning this locker room over to kind of a new group of players, and let's see what you got. And, I think for the most part, some guys stepped up and assumed leadership roles, David Backes being one of them. I think Alex Steen, who you guys are well familiar with, took a bigger role as a leader. But I think this is still a young team. Before the club signed Langenbrunner and Arnott, I think the average age was 25.6 years. In 1 week, they signed Langenbrunner, Arnott, Scott Nickel, and Kent Huskins, just four guys, and the average age went up 2 years, up to 27.6 or so. And so anyway, I think I think that's one thing that they really wanted to bring in free agency, and they did. I didn't think they'd get both Langenbrunner and Arnott. I knew they're going after Langenbrunner, but got both of them, and I think both will help.
Jeremy, David Perron, obviously, took that huge hit from Joe Thornton in the middle of the early in the season, came back that game, scored a goal, we haven't seen him since. Can you give us a little bit of an update on his status?
Yeah, and, you know, this update is probably a week and a half, 2 weeks old. That's the last time I talked to the Blues about David Perron's status is that he's making progress. You know, I believe the symptoms from the concussion have started to improve, but he's not yet to the point where he can begin his training. And so that's the key. You know, when he can come to St. Louis and get cleared, and again, that may have happened in the last week. I was on vacation. Mm-hmm. But when he comes to St. Louis and gets cleared to resume his training activity, that's going to be the key in his progress. And that, to my knowledge, hasn't happened yet. So they're cautiously optimistic that he'll be ready October 8th for opening night. But until he starts working out, I don't think they can put any sort of guarantee on that.
Jeremy, the Blues traded the two Erics last year, that being Eric Johnson and Eric Brewer. How are the Blues going to replace those minutes, you know, that offensive production? What's the plan long-term for the Blues to replace those two guys?
Well, I think one of the reasons Eric Johnson was able to be traded was because of the emergence of Alex Pietrangelo. Alex emerged at the beginning of the last season. But then when Eric Johnson was moved and then also Eric Brewer right around the deadline, Alex Pietrangelo's ice time went up significantly and he took an increased role. I mean, just to illustrate it, you know, he was 19, 20, 21 minutes, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden he was seeing 26, 27 minutes at times. So he's played very well, and they're going to look for more marked improvement from Alex Pietrangelo. I think Kevin Shattenkirk, when he came over in the Eric Johnson deal, he wasn't a surprise. People were expecting him to continue to do what he was doing in Colorado, but I think he impressed a lot of people in St. Louis. So you'll see him play some. And then you have Roman Polak, who they just re-signed to a five-year contract. I think they got a good right side with Alex Pietrangelo, Roman Polak, and Kevin Shattenkirk. And then they're hoping for you know, a little more play out of Barrett Jackman, who's you know, an experienced veteran on this team, Carlo Koliakovo, and then they bring in Kent Huskins from San Jose. So they're going to split it up a little bit, but I think a lot of that ice time will go to Alex Pietrangelo.
Jeremy, you know, you mentioned earlier the signing of Scott Nickel, and you look at the Blues last year in terms of faceoffs, and aside from Andy McDonald and Vladimir Sobotka, they really were pretty awful in the circle. Was Nickel's prowess in the faceoff circle the main reason behind his signing?
Yeah, you know, he came a few days before the Langenbrunner and Arnott signings. So I think when the Nickel signing happened, immediately you thought improved faceoffs. But, you know, here's a guy who's, 36 years old, so what does he have left? You know, at least he'll give you some help on the draws, but also give you some experience. And, you know, then they go out and get Langenbrunner and Arnott and add to that experience factor. So I think definitely the focus on Scott Nickel will be helping the Blues on the draws. They haven't been good the past couple years. A guy who took a lot of them for them and had some success was Jay McClement. He mm-hmm. went to Colorado in the Eric Johnson trade, and so they're going to have to be better. And it's not just going to be Scott Nickel because, you know, he's not going to be out on the ice too much, but they're going to need, you know, David Backes and Patrick Berglund and the rest of their guys up the middle. You know, you get Jason Arnott now. He's going to be third line center, so they're going to need help from a lot of different players.
We're joined on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show by Jeremy Rutherford of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch.
Jeremy, you talk a lot about this team, and from afar especially, we see potential, whether it be, you know, adding Chris Stewart. You have Steen, Backes, Berglund, Perron, Pietrangelo, Shattenkirk. I mean, Halleck, there's so many young, talented players on this team. Why has it not come together, and at what point does that potential term get thrown in the garbage and the team just hasn't done what they're capable of doing?
Yeah, that's a great question, and what I'm about to say is going to sound real convenient, but first of all, it's got to be this year, and secondly, I really do believe we would have seen it happen last year if not for the injuries. This is a club that got off to the 9-1-2 start, the best start in franchise history through 12 games. They were really rolling. They were allowing, I think, 1.46 goals against after even 17 games. They were playing well, and then the injury bug happened. You had David Perron takes the hit from Joe Thornton on November 4th.
Right.
Andy McDonald catches a rut in Edmonton, I believe, on December 4th, and he's out with a concussion. TJ Oshie falls in Columbus awkwardly and breaks his ankle, he's out. Roman Polak gets a severed tendon. So you can go on and on. And a lot of teams can do that with their injuries. But the point being that this team really got out of the gates strongly last year, and then it just kind of unraveled with the injuries. So there is a lot of potential on this team. And with the trade last year, Eric Johnson to Colorado for Stuart Schenker, the goal production went up from, I believe, about 2.8 per game to 3.3. Now, obviously, they're not going to be able to maintain 3.3 goals per game, I don't think. But anyway, that trade created more offense for this team, and that's what they needed. So, you know, if it doesn't happen this year, I really do think you might have to change some key parts, because this is a club that was put together through the draft, and they've been groomed the past couple of years with each other, and it's time for them to step up and start to show some of that potential.
Jeremy, off the ice, it sounds like the team is getting close to changing some key parts, and that being Dave Chekets will no longer own the team. Matthew Hulsizer has said that he wants to buy them. Can you give us an update into the ownership situation in St. Louis?
Yeah, just a quick update. Again, I was on vacation last week, but my colleague Dan O'Neill talked to Gameplan LLC, which is conducting the sale, and they said things have really heated up in the last 7 or 10 days. We knew of Tom Stillman, the Blues minority owner, already. He wants to put together a group that buys the entire franchise. He's made a bid that was rejected way back in April. And for the longest time, the past couple months, Stillman is the only name that we've heard who had interest in the Blues. Now, after pulling his name from the Phoenix situation, Hulsizer has met and spoken with Dave Chekets and reportedly toured Scott Trade Center and seems very interested. And Gameplan says that there are as many as 4 or 5 interested parties. So you have Stillman, you have Hulsizer, and then a couple others. We don't know the legitimacy to the other interest, you know, outside of Hulsizer and Stillman, but things do seem to be picking up, and Gameplan says they think that they could have a transfer of the ownership by the opening night, October 8th.
Jeremy, today the Blues signed Ryan Reeves, who's from Winnipeg. He's the son of Willard Reeves. What can you tell us about Ryan Reeves, and can you give us any details on the deal?
Yeah, it's a one-year, two-way deal. He's going to make $5.25 in the NHL and $105 in the American. And here's a guy who is an 05 draft pick of the Blues. He just made his debut finally last season, played 28 games with the big team, had 4 points, 78 penalty minutes. I think in those 28 games, he had 8 fights, and that's what he really is. He's a fourth line. He's kind of a bruiser, physical player, but he's got a little bit of skill. And you know what? I think he had a spot waiting for him on this roster, and he was going to definitely fulfill one of those fourth line roles until the Langenbrunner and Arnott signings. And now that's kind of jammed things up on those bottom six, and now you know, Reeves is going to have to come in and have a good camp and prove to everybody that he deserves to be on this team. One thing to his advantage is his physical ability. You know, the Blues really don't have a lot of it. Cam Jansen's departed, and, you know, you're talking about third and fourth line with Alex Steen, Matt D'Agostini, Jason Arnott, DJ Crombie brings some physical ability, and Vladimir Sobotka and Scott Nichols. So I think the Blues are going to need Ryan Reeves. He's just got to prove to them that he's ready.
Jeremy Rutherford of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. It sounds like in future years we're going to see a lot of each other as division mates, but for this year we'll have to wait till February 25th, St. Louis at Winnipeg. That should be a nice warm night, probably.
Yeah, it'll be great. And if I have my facts straight here, I think the Blues were going to come to Winnipeg and play a preseason game this year, but when you guys got the team, then obviously the preseason game was nixed. So, it'll be fun to get to Winnipeg for a regular season game in February, like you mentioned.
Look forward to seeing you, Jeremy. Thanks very much for joining us, as always, this evening.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys.
Take care, Jeremy.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Jeremy Rutherford at St. Louis Post-Dispatch joining us on the Legal Curve Hockey Show.
Great as usual.
As always, just great insight. Let's wrap this up. We got one final segment, so let's go to break, come back. We'll do a wrap. We'll take some calls if we have time. All sorts of things still to talk about. Stay with us. You're listening to the Legal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290. Welcome Welcome back. One final segment on this Monday night here on the third of our summer tour. Is that what they're calling it? The summer tour of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
It's a tour.
After tonight, we're going to be on for the next four Thursdays. So not this Thursday, not 3 days from now, but 10 days from now. And then you can set your watch to it that the next four Thursdays after that is we're going to be on.
What are you, a grandfather?
What do you have? You don't
your
wear
BlackBerry,
a watch?
Your iPod, or your iPhone, something, you know.
People still wear watches.
No. You can't set a watch to anything.
I've never worn a watch because of my eczema.
Remus?
No, no one wears watches anymore. I think I also find, like, when you're doing activities like playing hockey or something, it just gets gross with the watch.
Just sweaty.
And take it off.
You
have to play.
You can take, you don't, like, the watch is not embedded into your wrist. You can take it off.
No, it's not coming off.
I don't want to wear anything that's going to give me a rash.
There's a lot of fashion with a watch.
No, I like a watch. I'm just saying, you can still set a watch. You're going to set your phone, like your schedule, on your BlackBerry or your iPhone to listen to the show.
I think if people wear a watch, they're going to be wearing it for fashion purposes.
Yeah, jewelry. It's jewelry.
Not to actually check the time.
Yep. I don't like jewelry.
I'm the only one in here with a watch.
Yeah. The irony of my defending the watch is, of course, I've never worn a watch for a day in my life.
Really?
Yeah, not a watch guy.
You're always late, that's why.
I'm not late at all. What are you talking about?
You're not very punctual.
Drew, do you?
You know what?
Do you earn, Drew?
I should leave the show probably about 15 minutes before it ends and every week.
You're not coming on next show, so.
Actually, Drew is punctual. I take that back. You don't wear a watch, but every time Drew picks me up for the Bombers game, he's there 10 minutes early.
You guys got into a fight about punctuality, actually, because
it was 15 minutes late.
Rich, you've known me for how long?
I was with you when that happened.
I'm terrible with time.
I said to Ezzy, okay, we're meeting. We'll meet. I had Ezzy's tickets. We'll meet in front of the Bomber store at 7:30. At 7:29, as he's still drinking beer at Earl's and showed up 20 minutes later. And I'm the bad guy for asking him where he is.
And I left.
No, I apologize.
I was with Ezzy.
I'm pretty sure you didn't apologize.
And at 7:15, okay. We all got our bills, and I paid and left.
Exactly.
Richie's also punctual, but Richie also does the unexpected pop-off, where he'll just leave. He'll be like, okay, I'm out. Like, you know, like you think you're hanging out, and then all of a sudden Richie will go.
He does have one of two ways. A, he's either going to do something that's getting him in trouble, or B, he's finalizing something that's going to get him into trouble.
And he's
either avoiding it, or he's finishing it.
And he's the Illegal Curve lawyer too.
That's right. It's a good thing he can defend himself, and he'll have a fool for a client.
Remus, your thoughts?
I don't know. I got nothing on that. Drew can say what he wants about you getting into trouble.
Remus, why don't we talk about listening to the Saved by the Bell soundtrack on Saturday night?
I have it in the other room. He should have got it. We're going through my iPod looking at stuff to put on, and a friend of ours puts on, Saved by the Bell. I have the soundtrack on there, you know, graduation song.
The Jesse Spano Go With It song.
Yeah, the Zach and Kelly breakup song.
This is going to be the final Illegal Curve Hockey Show on Sports Radio 1290.
Hey, Drew, it's summer shows. That's what we do. We talk about Remus has got a cabin on the lake. That's what we talk about.
Beautiful view.
Beautiful view, yeah, scenery.
I haven't been invited this year. Anybody else?
We were there on Saturday.
Yeah, our fee was
okay.
Over.
So apparently I wasn't. It looks like I'm the outcast yet again.
So anyways, Drew, talk about hockey because you took us off track there.
I took us off track. You see, throw me under the bus. Okay, fine. Let's talk about
hockey.
What's
the status on the Illegal Curve Myers sandwich, by the way?
The sandwich.
Like, you got a lot of reception on Twitter.
Yeah, the sandwich got a lot of reception.
I don't think we have a sandwich yet.
I'm actually going to, if I get a chance this evening, either this evening or maybe tomorrow evening, I'm going to write an article about the sandwich.
I thought Drew was going to...
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I thought Drew was about to say he was going to make a mock-up, like, prototype sandwich.
I could do that,
and, like,
too.
Make it and, like take it to Myers and,
that's a good idea. I want a mock-up sandwich and an article about the sandwich. In fact, why don't you make the mock-up of the sandwich, take a picture of it, and include it in the article?
I don't have any brisket at home.
Go buy it.
When this sandwich gets made, it's going to be so delicious.
Have you talked to them about, you know, is there any, you know, news updates?
My mom has. She's pushing for it. We'll get it before Drew will push for it.
Oh. I'm just planning on eating it. I'm not planning on pushing it anywhere. I'm just planning
pushing
on
pushing it down your throat.
Exactly. Like a duck. I don't chew. I just swallow it whole like a duck. Is that right?
Richie's mom owns the station. She can own Myers very quickly.
She certainly doesn't do either of those things, but that's okay. Anyways, for those of you who missed the sandwich, we'll try and recap it on the site, www.illegalcurve.com. And I thought that was a good segment last week, the sandwich segment.
It was a great segment.
No. Yeah.
We don't have a sandwich to show for it, though, so I'm not sure how productive it was.
I got hungry as a result. That's pretty much all I was looking for.
Well, that was during every segment.
That's true. That's a good point. Anyways, just a busy week in the Winnipeg Jets hockey world, and this is what it's like every single week.
Well, because they don't have a... Yeah, this is... every other team, it's quiet.
Do you think it is, or do you just think we don't care about every other team signing people signing their qualifying offers?
Fair point. It's a bit of both.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think it makes a splash anywhere else because... last year when we didn't have a team to cover, we probably would have signed, whoever Tampa Bay signs to a qualifying offer in a lot more detail.
We still follow today. We had New Jersey.
I know
St. Louis,
we did. I'm
Pittsburgh.
Saying we still do it today, but I care so much more. Oh my God, Blake Wheeler signed. That was the reaction at about 5:45 this afternoon. That when we were off air getting ready for the show, it was, Blake Wheeler signed. That's a good thing. Now let's get, we want Blake on, or we want his agent on, or we want to, we want the conference call tomorrow, whatever it is.
Oh, of course.
It's all these things we care about so much more.
Yep.
Somebody on Twitter, Graham Natchuk on Twitter, our buddy, sent us a message. He said, has your passion, has your excitement level died down at all as this has become more and more of a reality?
No.
And the answer is no.
I think the answer is no for everyone around town, because the thing is, obviously the Illegal Curve show has changed a little bit. Our focus is changing a little bit. Now we're a Jets show.
Jet-centric.
But Jet-centric show. But we're still, obviously, we're in the summer, and we're having the Shelley Andersons and the Tom Giulittis on to talk about the Devils and the Penguin signings. And don't forget about Jeremy Rutherford. But no, Drew, I mean, the thing for fans in Winnipeg is they want to know that, this guy is going to sign, because Blake Wheeler is a heck of a hockey player. Dating back to his days in college hockey with the University of Minnesota, so we have more of a vested interest.
Absolutely. Let me make an analogy.
But I don't think the passion is ever. I think the passion right now is on a straight line up.
I think it's.
Let me make an analogy.
Okay.
The city of Winnipeg is us, and the team is the Illegal Curve sandwich. You see the sandwich, you get excited about it, then you take a bite, and you're even more excited, and you can't wait for the whole season to happen and to finish the meal. And the playoffs is like the pickle, Drew.
The sandwich is a microcosm of the Winnipeg Jets' upcoming season.
Exactly.
I'm actually speechless right now. I think it's a different, obviously we're not going to go out into the streets and celebrate every time a guy signs with the team.
No, but we're going to celebrate when that sandwich is made.
Exactly. I was just going to say that.
So, I mean, it's different. We're not partying in this Portage, Maine at the drop of a hat anymore, but it's great that we can have these conversations about,
absolutely.
How many conversations have we had in the last week, month, whatever, about our need for another centerman? We get comments all the time about it. And that's the beauty of what we have that we didn't have, obviously.
Course.
Now that we have the team back, it's who is our centerman going to be? We get suggestions.
What type of mustard are we going to use on the brisket?
I thought there was no mustard.
No mustard.
It.
No, what? No, the sandwich is rye bread, coleslaw, hot mustard, brisket.
I was thinking maybe we should change rye bread to
a potato salad.
No,
it's got to be rye bread.
No, over bun.
Rinas, I thought we were getting rid of coleslaw and putting in mashed potatoes.
I thought that's what we were doing, too.
I think they're both involved.
Disappointed in
what
the bun.
What about horseradish on there?
Not true. This isn't Passover.
No. I actually agree with Drew.
No.
I like a nice mild horseradish on my
brisket.
This
is why we haven't been able to create the sandwich yet, because we still can't agree on the sandwich.
This is why this is why we entered our season ticket Blue Bombers relationship, because me and Drew, we talk about sandwiches for hours. I love horseradish with chicken, with brisket. I sometimes put horseradish on my Cheerios. I love it.
Tim, are we ready for Cheers and Jeers?
Okay, let's
we might as well be.
Let's go to Cheers and Jeers.
Cheers. Congratulations.
He's brilliant.
He's a good guy. And Jeers.
No, not good enough.
He's a bad boy.
I never seen something sticks like this.
Surprisingly not good.
You guys are frantically pointing at one another. I'm going to say that, Ezzy, you start off Cheers and Jeers.
So
this
hungry
week.
We are. I'm going to cheer this kind of little mini movement. There was an article on, I believe it was at MLive, about the fans in Detroit are trying to get Mike Commodore to wear number 64 after the old Commodore 64 computer. It was an ancient computer in the 80s or early 90s.
I believe they're also actually doing it as a fundraiser. They're going to donate some money.
Really?
I think they've each people have pledged money to make it happen, so they're going to combine it with some sort of charitable effort.
Mike O'Hara wrote the article. And the Commodore 64 was an iconic home computer that was introduced in 1982 by Commodore International. I think it would be really cool. Steve Hines used to wear 57. So I think this is just fun. Mike Commodore, you should follow him on Twitter. He's at Commodore22, I think.
No, I think it's Commie22.
Commie22.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a really well-liked guy, Drew. Good stay-at-home defenseman. He was formerly with the Columbus Blue Jackets and Calgary Flames. I think this is just fun.
UND alum.
I love the fans in Detroit, and I think this is a really fun idea to get Commodore to wear 64.
Let's go over to the guy who's been blacklisted, of St. Michael Remus.
I was going
to
say, Commie, I think he knows Ned Isakoff.
Yeah, very good.
I was actually going to jeer the airline that was carrying the Stanley Cup. Apparently Nathan Horton's day with the cup was cut short because it got lost in Boston. Apparently, that's what his wife tweeted, at least.
Reem, it wasn't Qantas, was it?
Qantas?
Australian airline?
I'm sure it was.
Why would it be Qantas?
It's a flight from, I'm pretty sure it was Boston to Buffalo. It was probably American Airlines.
Yeah, so it probably wasn't Qantas.
Why would Qantas be flying?
Yeah.
Qantas doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's a good GR. It's too bad that his day did get cut short with the cup.
Yeah. That's, you should get commentating, maybe another half day.
I think something like that should be arranged. Richard?
I'm going to cheer Joe Sakic.
Yeah.
Hole in one.
Because the guy, by the way, I'm not cheering the fact that he got the hole in one so much as I'm cheering the fact that he gave half of the proceeds immediately to charity.
That's right. Exactly. He won $1 million for getting that hole in one.
And he gave $500,000 to charity.
That's right.
Pretty incredible.
That's right. Yeah. $500,000 for himself, $500,000 to the Livestrong Foundation. I think Lance Armstrong's charity. That's certainly worth cheering Joe Sakic.
Yeah, he didn't have to do that, did he?
I don't believe he had to do it, but who knows? I mean, it was a tournament of wealthy people playing a celebrity golf tournament.
He might have had to, but regardless, getting the hole-in-one.
Yeah, very cool.
Drew gets that all the time.
Exactly. I'll wrap up cheers and jeers by cheering the fantastic goal that happened in the Division III World Hockey Championships. The goal is actually available on NHL.com, or I'm sure
IllegalCurve.com.
Is it on IC already?
Yeah.
Okay, then also available on IllegalCurve.com. Just a fantastic goal by the Israeli player, and given that there's four Jewish guys in this room and Jewish athletes are few and far between, it's always good to
and Tim.
It's always good to see that the Jews are doing well in hockey. And congratulations to Team Israel, the Division III World Hockey Champions.
I'll tell you who did a lot of work for that in Israel's Roger Nielsen.
That's right.
Yeah. And Jean Perron.
Jean Perron. Both of them have done great work, and that's nice to see. That's progress for a team that our friend was involved in that. Neil was involved in the Israel Ice Hockey Federation. Great progress.
Exactly. Richie, it was a beautiful goal. Just quickly, Drew, it was a beautiful goal, and he's probably the best Jewish player since Bubba Berenzweig.
On that note, we'd like to thank everybody for joining us on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show this evening. A big thank you to our guests, Shelley Anderson. A big thank you of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, of course. A big thank you to Jeremy Rutherford of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch.
Thanks for Tim for sticking around in a room full of five sweaty guys.
Well, he's one of the five sweaty guys.
Who's the fifth guy? There's only four plus
Hustler
two.
Was in here earlier.
Hustler's sweating.
A big thank you to Tom Jaluti of the Bergen Record, and a big thank you to Matt Keeter. He's Blake Wheeler's agent. In case you missed any of the program, it will be available for download on iTunes. Search for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on iTunes, subscribe, and get it sent to your iPod each and every week. Remember to follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/IllegalCurve. And remember to check out www.illegalcurve.com each and every day, multiple times per day, for all your latest hockey and Winnipeg Jets specific news.